Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word and indeed thank God for the opportunity. Today we're going to share briefly from Luke chapter 10. And we're going to look at this encounter of Jesus with the certain lawyers or the Pharisees who wanted to question Him. And they asked Him the question of, "Who is my neighbor?" And really to look at Jesus' answer, the Good Samaritan. And then we're going to link it up with the message of God coming to save us, we human beings, and link it up with grace, because the story of a Good Samaritan can also be viewed with the lens of the grace of God. And ideally, that's really what we're going to do, and I pray that God will give us insight into it. Now, verse 25 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" And remember, this is the core that we start. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? Or how do you read it?" And you see, one of the things that Jesus loved to do, he will always ask the people, what is written? He will always want to know where they are starting from. What's the foundation of their knowledge? What knowledge do they have? And then from there, he will build it up. And you see, when he says that, "I do not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." And, you know, not a single letter from the law shall be removed. He is clear before, you know, he is clear that the law is perfect. He agrees with the old scriptures that the law is wise, and even Paul himself says the law is spiritual, but the problem was with the people. So Christ does not abolish the law. In fact, he fulfills it, and not only does he fulfill it for us who believe in the righteousness that is by faith, not the righteousness that is by law, he also comes to extend the law in that he makes it better. Gives us a better covenant with better promises. So one of the things that you will see is that the law of Christ, and which is what I will call the law of love, or rather the new covenant, has also its own laws and its own demands, and these fall under what we call the higher demands of the law of Christ. Now, I'll leave that for another day, but that's something that we're going to look at by the grace of God. But verse 27 tells us, "So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" And he said to him, this is Jesus saying to the lawyer, because the lawyer knows the word. I mean, he knows the law. He was saying, "Yes, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." So if you keep the law, he told him, if you keep the law, you will live. Verse 29, "But he wanted to justify himself and say to Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor?'" And this is the core. Who is my neighbor? Now, verse 30 says, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell down among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side.'" Verse 32, "Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." Now, just before we get to the Samaritan, I want to just look at this. Jesus is being asked by this lawyer that, "Who is my neighbor?" Because the name, he wants to justify his questions to Jesus. But then Jesus was one that will not speak to the masses plainly. The Bible tells us that he spoke to them in parables. And when his disciples asked him, "Lord, why do you speak to the crowds or to the masses in parables. He says it is not given for them to know the secrets of the kingdom, but it is given to you. And he says to them that have, much will be added. To them that do not have, even the little that they have will be taken away. So we can see that Jesus from the onset answers the crowds with parables. And the reason is because at times the realities of the kingdom are so vast to express that at times expressing it in a parable is a dark saying of God, or is a dark speech of God that is cryptic, that needs us to go and dig in deeper. So he says that, so Jesus answers in the form of a parable, and he says, a certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the thieves. Now, the roads were dangerous, and this man decided to go. I can imagine he was moving with his property, but as he moved, he fell into the hands of robbers. And the Bible says they stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, when I said we're linking it with the message of the grace of God, and think of we being this man who God placed on the earth and we're supposed to stay in Jerusalem, but then when we decided to leave our place and follow after, you know, the desires of the devil, we landed among thieves and robbers. And the Bible calls the devil, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And likewise, we can see that these thieves, they came to steal, they wanted to kill him, and they wanted to destroy him. And so the Bible tells us that they stripped him of his clothes. And this is what happened to Adam. He was stripped of his glory, and he was naked, and he was left with shame, and he was left half dead and wounded, and he was left by the roadside. And the Bible says, and when he saw him, now a certain priest came. Now think of it, how it speaks even twice of the people that were supposed to help him, and the people, or speaking of the law that was supposed to come and rescue this man from sin, this fallen man. Now the first aspect of the law is the priest, and you can see how the priest comes and he sees him. The Bible is very clear that he saw him, the priest saw him, the Levite saw him lying on the roadside. And the Bible says that now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And then when the certain Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed on by the other side. Now, these are two aspects of the law, highlighting the law that not only the priests do not have the capacity to save us, do not have the capacity to cleanse our sins, they can only cover our sins, do not have the capacity to rescue us. And so those that were priests, those that were Levites, even the Levitical priesthood, the Levitical order has no capacity. And that already tells us that anyone that comes by law will not enter the kingdom of God and has no capacity. Now, verse 33 says, but now a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Now, Samaritans and Jews do not interact. In fact, if a Jew saw a Samaritan coming on the road, he would either take another road, or he would actually go to the other side of the road. So it was this serious, because they considered the Samaritans dogs, they considered the Samaritans unclean, that even people will ensure that they take the longer route around the Samaritan region to avoid encountering the Samaritans. But you see, Jesus was not like that. Jesus interacted with the Samaritans, and he always portrayed to them as those that are loved of God. Remember, the Samaritans, it's not that they did not have Jewish heritage. They actually had Jewish blood. they would believe in the fathers. Abraham was their father. They believed in worship of God Yahweh. But you see, because when the Israelites came down, or they came back from exile, and they tried to number themselves, they felt that these Jews who they had left behind in the time of exile had intermarried, and they were not clean, or rather their lineage was not pure, so they excluded them. And thus the Samaritans, yes, they had a Jewish origin. Remember when Jesus was speaking with a Samaritan woman, she told Jesus that you Jews say the place where we must worship is Jerusalem, but we worship by this mountain. And Jesus answered her that, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you shall neither worship God in Jerusalem or on this mountain, but a time is coming when you shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for these are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So it speaks to us of the culture, of the differences in culture between the Samaritans and the Jews. And yet I said we are linking it with grace, and we are seeing how God had no business with us, had no business rescuing us, had no business intervening in the affairs of man. But you see, he came and saw this man that was stripped of his glory. And the Bible says that, if we're back to verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Verse 34, so went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Look at what Christ did to us, sinners. He found us bleeding and dying on that Jericho road, and he pours in the oil and the wine. He has compassion on us. He comes and dies for us. He spends on himself. You can see how it says, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, and Christ is coming again, I will repay you. I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? The good Samaritan had compassion, had mercy, had pity on the Jews, on the Jew that fell into the hands of robbers. The Jew would have expected that, the certain man would have expected that his own priests, his own Levites would have helped him. And I'm thinking, he is by the road, half dead, and he sees this priest coming. And in his heart he's saying, oh, finally, a man of God is coming to help me. And if he could still see him, he could shout and say, hey, priest, come and help me. I've been attacked. I'm a Jew. And the priest, hearing his fellow Jew call out to him, but of course he does not want to dirtify his own garment. He does not want to make himself dirty. He does not want to, you know, to embarrass himself. He does not want to move away from the Levitical order or from the priestly order. The priest is after protocol, moves away, is after religion, moves away, and crosses to the other side. And the man, you can imagine him, picture him crying, oh, priest, help me. And the priest walks away. And the priest has no conscience in him that, oh, that is a human being, that is a man that I need to help. And the priest goes away. Likewise, a Levite comes, and this also, they were the chosen of God. You know, they were the ones that God had said, the Levites are mine, set apart for God, the tenth of the Israelites. They were the people that God had set aside for himself. Yet, hearing the man is half dead crying, oh, someone is coming, and he is a Jew. Not only is he a Jew, he is a Levite. These are the people we give of our tithes year after year. Oh, these are the offerings that we give. These are the sacrifices that we give. These are the things that we've been giving to the men of God. And we expect that they will rescue me. But the Levite, seeing the man, The Bible tells us that they both acknowledged, they saw the man, and they moved to the other side, and they moved away. The priests, the Levitical order, has no capacity to save us. It has no capacity. That's why it is only the Samaritan. It is only the neighbor, the good neighbor, the good Samaritan, Christ coming, having mercy. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God sent his son to die for us on the cross. And we see that God sending his only son to die on the cross for us, coming in as a good Samaritan, pouring in the oil and the wine. The oil represents the healing. The healing, the wine represents the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit. And he heals this man. That's why healing is available for us, because Christ came. Christ came. Have mercy. He had mercy. And he spends of himself. He uses all his resources. He uses his resources, gives 2 denarii, and even gives in advance and says, look here, I'm giving you this. I'm giving you the deposit of my Spirit. I'm coming back again. Whatever that you need, spend of it. Spend of him. He is available for you. He is available for you. So, Christ comes as a good Samaritan, finds us bleeding and dying, pours in the oil and the wine, and leaves 2 denarii and says, spend on him whatever he needs. I will come and repay. And Jesus asks, of the three, which is my neighbor? And they say, the Samaritan, the one who showed him mercy. God is the one who showed us mercy. God desires mercy. He says, sacrifice and offerings you were not pleased, you did not delight in, but a body that you prepared, that mercy, mercy, mercy. There is nothing that triumphs over judgment than mercy. As we've learned yesterday, that you know that we need to have boldness on the day of judgment. We need to come boldly to the throne of God, to the throne of grace. Let us remember that the key that opens what we need from God is nothing but mercy. The thing that gives us healing, the thing that we can access our healing, whatever miracle that we need from God is nothing but mercy. The Samaritan had mercy. Christ had mercy on us. God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us. His son was sent to die for us. And God and Jesus tells the lawyer, go and do likewise. I have shown you my pattern. Go and show people some mercy today. Go and show those that don't deserve it some mercy. Be that Samaritan. Accord grace where it is undeserved. Accord grace where you do not expect a return. Accord grace, and you'll always see the faithfulness of God. Labor as if it were yours alone. The Bible says, he that is faithful in another man's business shall be trusted with their own. Labor, even if it's not your place, labor as if it's another man's work, as if you're doing it to God. For indeed, at the end of it all, everything that we do it as stewards of God's providence, as stewards of God's faithfulness. I pray that God will give us more insight to understand this and just look at even things from a deeper perspective. Shalom, and indeed the Lord bless you as you receive his word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your demonstration that indeed we can inherit eternal life through your mercy, through the grace, through the aspects that you've taught us, that indeed you are the one that had compassion. You are the good Samaritan, and you are the one that came in and poured out in the oil and the wine. And I pray this morning that everyone that is listening, that is desiring your grace, desiring your mercy, that indeed you pour in the oil and the wine in their lives, release healing, O God. We pray for them that are unwell this morning. We pray for healing. We pray for healing. Let healing virtue flow in their bodies. Let them touch you. Let them experience your healing through this message, that indeed whatever it is that is amiss in their bodies, I speak it into order to the praise and honor of your holy name. Thank you that indeed we approach you not on our own righteousness, just like David said, that have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. He came on the mercies of God, on the character of God. I pray that as we come to you on your character, on your love, on your mercy, on your grace, on your unending love, that indeed we shall receive that which we ask of you. We pray for your hand upon us in whatever that we do. We'll be blessed and we'll be ordered. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Bye-bye.